Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
At our house, we have been celebrating Christmas for definitely for about the last month for a couple of reasons. First of all, we have a brand new little baby who's just a couple weeks old. So it feels like we got baby Jesus in our house. That's what we keep thinking, you know. Thank you for the applause. If you would like to sign up to take the night shift, we can really test how excited you really are about that. Thank you. Kidding. We're excited. We're really, really excited. It's been great. But also, my in-laws were in town from Texas around Thanksgiving, and they brought, shout out for Texas. That's awesome. We're going to do that, huh? Every time I say a city, we're going to scream for it. That's cool. We can do that. That's awesome. Texas is a great place. Proud people from Texas. That is awesome. They came and they brought presents. And so our kids all told them what they wanted and what they were excited about. And our six-year-old son, you know, when I was six, I don't know, can you remember what you wanted when you were six? I mean, it was probably something simple like a car or not like a play car, you know, or like some G.I. Joes or some Legos or, you know, maybe like a bow and arrow if you were going to get crazy. You know, he wanted a drone. I'm like, what are you, a drone? Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And I really want to be able to, I want to have a camera. I want to be able to like, and I'm like, what are you trying to see around our neighborhood? Like, you know, but anyway, so you can get drones like fairly inexpensively now. And so my in-laws, they got him a drone. And so he was super excited about it. And we found this one online that had great reviews. And he flew it a couple of times. And then being the, you know, I'm trying to be the fun dad. And so I say, hey, let's take the drone over to the football field by our local elementary school. And let's really give this thing a whirl. Let's see what it can do, you know. So he was excited. And so we went over there. And he flew it a couple of times. And I brought our four-year-old Sally with us because she's my favorite of our children. I'm just kidding. It's not true. It's true. And I was trying to tell, hey, let her have a turn. You know, she was wanting a turn. And so he let her have a turn. And so she flew it, you know, like 200 yards the wrong direction. It landed way away. And he was like, oh, no. You know, and I was like, it's okay. Let me have it. And so I grabbed the controller and I said, I'll bring it back over here. So I start flying it. Well, I haven't played a lot of video games in my day. I don't have a lot of hand-eye coordination. And I had never flown a drone before. And it was very windy that day, okay? Like 20, 25 mile per hour gusts of wind that day. And so I flew this thing and I kept flying it higher and higher and I was like trying to bring it back toward us, but then my depth perception got out of whack and I couldn't tell, is it coming closer to us or is the wind blowing it away? I couldn't tell. And then there was a tree line and I was like, well, I better take it above the tree line because I don't want to get it caught in the trees. And so I kept flying it higher and higher. And then I couldn't tell, is it going into the woods? And so there was a gap about 50 yards long between the woods and this other neighborhood. And for some reason, my instincts took over and I thought, okay, we'll just land this thing in the neighborhood over there because that seems safe. Well, I lost the drone. We never found it. So I'm really doing this whole thing to say, if you have a drone in your backyard, it's ours and I'd love to get that back. So, I'm kidding. But the embarrassing part was that the feeling that I had when my son is looking at me going like, oh, I have lost all respect for you as a human, you know? I'm still trying to earn that back. But the other feeling that I had was as it was flying away, I felt so out of control. I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to bring it back, but I couldn't, for whatever reason, get it to do what I wanted it to do. And as I've been thinking about today, I've been thinking about that emotion of feeling out of control, of feeling like, hey, if I knew which way to press the buttons, I would to get life to go the way I want it to go. But life is currently, it feels like it's out of control. It feels like I'm losing it. It feels like I'm maybe even lost. And some of you can relate to that emotion because some of you remember a point in your life when you felt that way, when you felt lost. You didn't know where to go. You weren't spatially lost. You knew where you were, but maybe the decisions that you had made or something about the way life had worked out, it had taken you to a place where you didn't realize where you didn't even know where you were. You didn't even know how you got there. Some of you know what that feels like right now because maybe that's the way you feel right now. Maybe it's a job situation, or maybe it's some relational stuff that's going on, a broken relationship, or maybe it's some habits that you have, some decisions that you've made. You know, in the church world, we use this word sin, which is a really loaded, in some ways powerful word, and in some ways it can be kind of a toxic word, but the word sin really just means there's something in our life that has overtaken us. It's mastered us. It's created this thing in me that I can't not if I wanted to. And a lot of you know what that feels like because you maybe feel that way now. And maybe you would even say, yeah, I feel like I'm not in control. I feel lost. Some of you, though, things are going great. And maybe, honestly, maybe the best thing for you today would be to just remember this moment, and to tuck this message away, because maybe one day you'll need to pull it back out if you ever do feel lost. Maybe this is the map that you fold up and put it in your pocket for another day. But everyone at some point in life is going to feel lost. The reason why I bring that up is because that's the point of Christmas. The whole idea of Christmas is that we were lost. Have you ever heard that phrase that God helps those who help themselves? It's not in the Bible necessarily. And I don't even know how true it actually is, because there's nothing we could actually do in our state of being lost to help ourselves. If we could have, we would. And in the middle of all of that, and in the middle of that feeling and that emotion, God did the unthinkable, and he entered into our world because we were lost. Driven by love and motivated by love, God sent his son, Jesus, packed all of his divinity into a human form, into a baby, to come be a guide for us and show us the way, but also to come and eventually die and give up his life, and then to resurrect from the dead to actually give us a way back. He said, I am the way. I am the doorway. If you want to know how to get back home, you got to come through me. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the point of Christmas. I want to read the Christmas story just for us to be able to hear it, because it's so helpful and it's so rich and it's so good. But for some of you that have read the Christmas story a lot out of maybe Luke 1 and Luke 2, I want to read it out of a version that is one that I use with our kids a lot. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible, and it says ages 4 and up. So I thought that would cover a lot of us, you know? It at least covers me. So, but I love the way the lady that did this paraphrase, her name is Sally Lloyd-Jones, and the way she wrote this is just absolutely fantastic. So just, if you would, sit back and just listen to this amazing story of what God has done for us. This is really, really beautiful. Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people just as he had promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? The mountains would have bowed down. The seas would have roared. The trees, they would have clapped their hands. But the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. When no one was looking, in the darkness, he came. There was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, Joseph was the great, 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 great grandson of King David. One morning, this girl was just minding her own business when suddenly a great warrior of light appeared. Right there in her bedroom, he was Gabriel. He was an angel, a special messenger from heaven. And when she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened, of course. You don't need to be scared, Gabriel said. God is very happy with you. Mary looked around to see if perhaps he was talking to someone else. Mary, Gabriel said, and he laughed with such gladness that her eyes filled with tears. Mary, you're going to have a baby, a little boy, and you will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. He's the one. He is the rescuer. The God who flung planets into space and kept them whirling around and around. the God who made the universe with just one word. The one who could do anything at all was making himself small and coming down as a baby. Wait, God was sending a baby to rescue the world? But it's too wonderful, Mary said, and felt her heart beating hard. How could this be true? Gabriel responded and said, "Is anything too wonderful for our God?" So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see. And she believed, "I am God's servant. Whatever God says, I will do." Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now, Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. And when they reached this little town, they found every room was full, every bed was taken. "Go away," the innkeepers told them. When I'm reading this to my kids, though, I say like this, "Hey, go away." But then they get frustrated at me because they're like, "Why was the innkeeper a pirate?" So anyway, you just choose your own voice there. But the innkeeper said, "Go away. There isn't any room for you." Where would they stay? Soon Mary's baby would come. They couldn't find anywhere except an old tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and the donkeys and the horses stayed. But there, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, right there in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us, because, of course, he had. See, God knew that we couldn't find our way back, that when you're lost, you literally don't know what to do. And God knew that in that state, we needed someone. And so, driven by love, God sent his son to come and not just forgive our sin, but to be the forgiveness for our sin. He didn't just say, "I now grant you forgiveness." No, he said, "I am going to pay for your sin." And he did when he gave his life up on a cross. But he also helps us make sense out of this world. Some of you are in the middle of some significant suffering or tragedy or hurt or heartbreak. And you just need to know that you have a God who says, "Even though life might seem hard, I haven't left you. I'm right there in the middle of it with you." But he also helps us make sense out of the next world. One of the greatest fears that any one of us has is the fear of death, because the uncertainty of what's next is so difficult to face. But Jesus said, "There is another place, and you will be with me if you know me." And he came to show us the way, but also to be the way. For you and for me, for those of us who are lost or might feel lost or remember what it's like to be lost. As we were getting ready for this day, talking about this message, we thought about a lady that works with our kids. Her name is Susan, and she volunteers in what we call Upstreet. It's our environment for elementary age kids. And Susan is just a terrific lady and has been part of this church for a long time. And she had done something extraordinary for this other family that really illustrated this so well. But as we dug into her story, we realized that the story is really Susan's story of being lost and then being found. And so instead of just taking it from me, I wanted to actually let Susan tell you her story herself, because it's quite remarkable. And as you listen to her story, I want you, if you can, to try to think about your own life. Try to connect with her emotions and the way she felt lost, and see if you might also connect with that feeling and that emotion. But I'll let her explain it and take it from here. So this is the story from Susan. Check this out.
On the evening of June 20th, 2002, I have no recollection of driving. I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw blue lights. And I knew that I was going to jail. And I don't know what the outcome's going to be because this is my second DUI in 11 years. So I get arrested that night, I go to jail. As I walk in, I felt like every eye was on me coming through that door. The next morning, there were some ladies that were gathering there at the table, and I can see the face of the lady now, and she said, "We're going to have a devotion this morning. Would you like to join us?" And I said, "Yes." And then that same inmate closed her Bible and gave it to me and said, "Here, you can keep this." And that was the first time my Bible had been opened in 22 years. And it was at that moment, too, that I really felt God was saying, "Susan, this is a matter of life and death. I have come to give you life, to give you abundant life, but you've got to make a decision." And it was at that moment that my journey back as a prodigal would begin. There was a guy in AA, in that small circle, that said, "Hey, Susan, you know what? I think you would really like North Point." I'm like, "North Point what? North Point, there's a meeting? There's another meeting called North Point?" "No, North Point Community Church." North Point was a place that the unchurched, the bad churched, or the prodigals like myself could come to. So I started attending North Point in 2003 after I had been sober for a year. Then I would invite some neighbors. One of my neighbors I invited, she came in January to New Year's resolution start coming. What would happen in May is her son in his 20s would overdose on heroin. And so there she was at North Point, surrounded by a starting point group, surrounded by a grief recovery group, and she was surrounded by the body of Christ that would not have been there before January. One of the ladies I was working with that got my number and said, "Can we meet at an AA clubhouse?" I said, "Well, no, but I can meet you at church." I never will forget that when we met, we went to the service. She said, "Well, this is not anything like I've ever experienced." Her husband plays in a band, so she loved the music. And so then after that, we went to the studio. And as we're sitting there, this is the first time I've met the lady. And so she starts to pour out her brokenness and her hopelessness and her despair. And so as she's telling me her story, I could tell that it's, you know, people are starting to leave the church. You know, it's now 5:30, 5:45. But out of the corner of my eye, I saw a volunteer in the studio that just whispered to me, "Just turn off the lights when you leave." I remember the sermon where Andy was asking for volunteers. And I thought, well, surely I can serve in children's ministry, maybe. I remembered how important it was for the Sunday school teachers and those that had poured into my life. And so I wanted to give back what had been given to me. When I arrive and get in my circle and pray for the kids that are going to be coming today, I think about the joy and the new life that I have as I sit there on that circle compared to the floor of the Cobb County Jail. I just have to tell, and I keep saying, it is all because of Jesus that I'm alive. And who am I that he would even know my name? And do what he's done in my life to give me the privilege to serve in children's ministry and just to make sure that those kids know that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that they've got someone, a small group leader, rooting for them. I'm so grateful that God was relentlessly pursuing me. And there's a place like North Point where broken vessels and past DUI offenders and the brokenness of our past can be restored and it can be redeemed. And so as I think about the Christmas story, we celebrate that it's all because of Jesus and our belief in Jesus. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. The kids in Upstreet put that verse together last week with a puzzle because of that baby. We can have hope.
Isn't that amazing? There's so much from Susan's story that I take. One of them, that line that she says, where when I think about sitting on the floor helping these kids, I'm reminded of the way that floor felt in that Cobb County jail. What an incredible, incredible line. But what I love about it is it reminds me, just like it reminded her, of the hope that we have that God can take any life, and bring it back home. It doesn't matter how broken, how messed up, and that's true of you today. It doesn't matter how far gone you feel, it is never over. And you have a Father in heaven that loves you with a relentless kind of love. He's never going to give up, no matter how lost you feel. This is the remote control to the drone. It doesn't have a lot of value anymore. I know a lot of you are looking and saying, well, that seems so simple. It's not that simple, y'all, all right? So quit with the judgment. It's tricky to fly. And for those of you that are thinking about ordering my son a new drone, you don't need to do that. I was going to do it. I told him, hey, look, I'll get you a new one. That was my fault. But my in-laws went ahead and did it, which was so generous and nice of them. But the next day, as I was trying to figure out, like, how could this have happened? And why didn't they figure out a way for this to not happen? I started reading the reviews, and all the reviews said, oh, this drone is so great because it's idiot-proof. And I was like, well, maybe not idiot-proof, you know? But what they all said was, they said, it's so wonderful because if it starts to get away, it's got this button on it that they called the come home button. And you just press the button, and it flies right back to the control. And a lot of you are probably thinking, well, why didn't you do that? I didn't know about the come home button, okay? If I would have known, I would have pressed it, but I didn't know. But as simple and as maybe cheesy as this is, I think God knew that we needed something just that simple. And in a lot of ways, Jesus is the come home button. And maybe for you today, you need to just go ahead and press the button. Maybe you're afraid of what he might ask you to do, or maybe you're afraid of what he might say to you, or maybe you're just thinking, I don't know that I can. I'm just telling you, all you have to do is press the button. All you have to do is send out your own SOS and say, God, please help me. O come, Emmanuel. I know for a lot of you, you remember the moment when you pressed the button. You remember the moment when you first cried out. I know a lot of you are maybe thinking, I don't know, can it be that easy? We've designed an experience at the beginning of 2018 that we really want to invite you to be a part of, because we really believe that the best thing that any one of us could do is just investigate for ourselves about who Jesus is, who he was, why he was here, what did he do, what was he like. So from January 1st to April 1st, there are 90 days. Obviously, January 1st, the beginning of the new year, and April 1st is Easter Sunday, the day that we'll celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to take a journey together, a 90-day journey. I mean, think about all that can change in 90 days. All of life could change in 90 days. And we want to invite you to be a part of a journey from January 1st to April 1st to just come and discover, come and see what he's like. Come and find out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Come and find out for yourself. I'm honestly, even though this is odd because I'm a professional Christian, I am not that much of a religious person. I don't really like religion all that much. But the great news is that Jesus didn't like religion that much either. And he came to make it simple. It's not easy, but he came to make it simple. And he said, hey, just put your faith in me. Just follow me. Let that be your come home button. And for some of you, that's just the thing that you need to do. Maybe it's just the thing you want to do today.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Alpharetta, Roswell, Milton, or Johns Creek area, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend gatherings. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at northpoint.org. That's northpoint.org.